Hebrews 13:5, the second half, God is saying, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And so for me, like, I had felt left and forsaken by my dad, and God was saying, I will never do that.
Welcome to Stories of His Glory, a podcast where coaches, athletes, and partners of FCA share powerful stories of how Jesus Christ is transforming lives through the world of sports. Each episode, you'll hear real stories of people who've experienced the life-changing love of Jesus. Stories that will encourage, challenge, and inspire you to see how God is moving in and through the world of sports and each of our lives. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Stories of His Glory. I'm your host, Ryan Jungling, and today I'm excited to introduce you to Northland Regional Director of International Advancement, Shelly Pearson. Shelly, thanks for sitting down with me today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm excited about this conversation, and there's a lot of things that are happening this summer in your lane, and I'm excited for people to hear those stories and just to get to know you over the next number of minutes. So I'm excited about this. So Shelly, if we opened up a photo album of your life, either physical or digital photo album of your life, what would be the first picture that you would show to explain who you are today?
Oh, and that is a tough question to start with. I think it would probably be a picture really of who I am today and looking at what the Lord has brought me through and done and brought me to this place and made me who I am through the hard and the easy and the challenges and everything, just to share of His goodness of who I am today.
That's amazing. There's this, the statement I've heard recently, I've definitely heard this throughout my life too, but just the idea of there are four gospels in the Bible, but then there's also your own story, the gospel of you, right? And how God moves in each of our lives. And that's essentially what the point of this whole conversation is about. And the point of this whole podcast is we all have these stories and just so many people that we don't even know, right? Our own stories can have tremendous impact in the lives of others. And how cool that we get to share that.
Yeah.
Shelly, this is a podcast that's sponsored by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but it's not all about FCA. This is about individual stories. But I like to kind of take two approaches when starting conversations with people on this podcast, and to talk about either faith journey or to talk about athletic journey. So the Regional Director of International Advancement for FCA, why don't you just kind of talk about that role a little bit, what that means, and then what that also looks like.
Yeah, sure. The role with the long title is simply just means that I'm a bridge between our Northland region, which is the states of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and our aligned global region of Southern Africa. So FCI split up the U.S. into 14 regions, and then each one is aligned with a global region. So really, I just get to stand kind of in the gap between the two, helping each side know what's happening on the other and providing opportunities for our staff here to pray, give, and go, but also our teammates over there to understand what does ministry look like over here and to help them understand they're not alone, because many of our leaders over there are the only one in their country serving. And so we get to be this kind of this force behind them, helping them do what God has called them to do.
Yeah, that's really, you know, I've known FCA for a long time, got introduced to FCA back in high school, really got introduced in college. And it wasn't until like many steps down the road of coming on staff 3 years ago that I realized that FCA even had international ministry, because even though the ministry is over 70 years old, international ministry is fairly new, right?
International didn't start until 2013. They'd done a couple trips before that, kind of pioneering trip.
Yeah.
But officially launched in 2013. And we, in Southern Africa, we're working in 8 countries right now, more than 80 around the world, but really pretty new in that area, which I actually appreciate, because I think we've learned a lot from organizations that went international much earlier. We've learned from some of the things that didn't work as well for them. For example, all of our leaders are Southern African. Every one of them is native to their country.
Yeah.
And so they know better than anybody else what their country needs and how to reach their country. And we just get to come alongside, not to tell them how they just should do things, but to just support them and encourage them and help them do what God's called them to do.
Yeah, for sure. It's been just a joy to be able to meet some of our teammates when they come on reverse trips to the U.S. And like Moreno's been here a couple of times, I had the privilege of having him at our house for a couple of days a few months back. And it was just such a joy to be with him, and personally really excited. And we'll get to this a little bit later, but personally really excited to be going by the time this episode airs in Madagascar. So being an international advancement regional director, you yourself, how has God been moving before this role to bring you to this role?
Yeah, great question. Is it okay if I go all the way back, like full faith?
As far back as you want to go.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll go back to stage six. My parents got divorced when I was six and really had no faith background up to that point. Hadn't gone to church. Both my parents went a little bit growing up, but it wasn't a priority in the home. And when I was six, my mom and my sister and brother and I moved out, and then started quite a few years of just kind of hard. We didn't have a lot of money. My mom was a single mom going back to college, and so challenges in that. And then we also just didn't see my dad hardly at all growing up. And that was probably the hardest thing, actually, that of my childhood, just that desire for that relationship with a father and not understanding why didn't he want to see us? What was the reason? And so I thought if I do good in whatever I do, maybe that will earn his love. And so I had tried to do really well in school and in everything I did, thinking maybe he would pay attention if I did well. But it didn't really do anything. It didn't move the mark, really. And so I was really angry at God, which is interesting to me that I always believed in God, even though we had really no faith background.
Yeah.
But believed in him, but was angry because he had allowed this pain in my life that was hard. And, you know, this relationship that everybody should have just wasn't there. And so it wasn't until when I turned 12, we started going to church. My mom was saved shortly after the divorce, but hadn't had anybody to follow up with her and disciple her. So I started going to church when I was 12. Again, I was mad. I remember fighting with my mom, like, I'll go to church, but please don't speak to me about it outside of church. It just was too much. It was weird. My mom was excited and on fire, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And then when I was 14, I was invited to a Bible study at somebody's house. And I think it felt comfortable, and I was willing to go, where church just felt harder. So I went to this Bible study, and it was there. I really heard the gospel. And along with the gospel, two verses really impacted me. Hebrews 13:5, the second half, God is saying, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And so for me, like, I had felt left and forsaken by my dad, and God was saying, I will never do that. And then Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so I had been trying all those years to earn my dad's love.
Yeah.
And God was showing me, you don't have to do that with me. In fact, you can't. I already love you as much as I'm going to love you. And so it was then my freshman year in high school when I gave my life to the Lord and really was on fire from then. I had this Bible study that I was part of. It was really strong. We were just in the Word all the time. We didn't use any outside books or anything, just in the Word. And so I grew a ton. And it was that next summer, about 8 months after I was saved, that I went on my first missions trip. So super formative in my walk with the Lord. I went to Mexico with a lot of those people from my Bible study and just experienced the world, but the world where there's a lot of need and a lot of want, need for the gospel, but also a physical need. And so God really birthed in me at that time a heart for the nations and a heart to reach those who are far off from us. I loved that. I went on several missions trips in high school and college. Actually thought I was going to be a missionary. Thought that was the path God had me on. And then after college, served for 4 months in Mexico, and then he just twisted my path and took me in a different direction. Married my husband. We had 4 kids in 4.5 years and decided I would stay home and I was like, okay, this is, we're closing the book on both being a missionary and having a career. And that was fine because that was our heart that I could be home with the kids. But I never lost that heart to go. We took the whole family in 2019 to Haiti. And that was really cool to be able to experience that together. And then it was shortly after that that I was looking for something part-time because I was serving on the school board in the town where we lived at the time, and it was very toxic. And so I just needed something positive in my life. So I had put on my Facebook, looking for something part-time. And at the time, Brent Voigt, who's on staff with FCA, was the area director where we lived. And we had been supporting him for a couple of years. And he reached out and said, hey, I want you to come and do communication for me. That turned into a role with Brent and then with the state of Minnesota, writing stories, doing newsletters, things like that. So that's really how I came into FCA. And then we moved just like 9 months later to a different town. There was another staff member, Jeff Uni, who's not on staff anymore, but he was the regional vice president before our current RVP. And he was doing 10% of his role was to do international. And he's like, listen, I don't have time to do international. Would you just do that for me? And so I started getting to know at that time, we only had, I think, 3 international leaders in Southern Africa. So started getting to know them, started sharing with the staff about the countries, about the work that was being done, and really loved it. And it was around that time that SCA announced they wanted to make this role full-time in every region.
Yeah.
So Jeff had told me that I should apply for it. But up to that point, Brent and Jeff and then Tom, the state director of Minnesota, they were all paying my salary, raising the funds, and I didn't have to do it on my own. So as happens with many staff members, it's like, no, not doing that. I'm content where I am. And yet I knew the Lord was pushing me to something more. And so he really did a work in me through the interview process. And even when Brian, the VP, called to offer me the job, I was like, I'm going to need a couple minutes, more like a few days, to really think and pray about if this is the way to go. And God was really good in that few days to just be really clear, use the story of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water to really get me out of the boat and be willing to do this role. So it really has fit my passion so well, and God's been preparing me for it ever since I was 15 on my first missions trip. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. Thank you for the whole picture to that story. There's a lot of follow-up that we could go down. If you're good, we'll run down a couple of those lanes. Okay. And we'll work back to today, because I think that there's a lot that we can definitely talk about today. But what hit me early when you were talking about the difference between you going to church with your mom, who was on fire for Jesus, passionate about being around the church, being in the body, and the difference between a Bible study sitting in a home or something outside the church walls.
Yeah.
That's the role that FCA plays. And a lot of other parachurch organizations play that role. And a lot of just people play that role within the church of inviting people into their home. But I think that's really cool and really important for people to understand that God might meet somebody in the living room around a Bible, doesn't just have to be on Sunday morning at a church, in the power of that community. But then that community is the one that you ended up going on that mission trip.
Yep.
Is there anything that it seemed like it ignited a fire in you for international? Is there any moment or story that you remember from that first trip where you're like, oh, this is something more?
Yeah, I think it was meeting the people who in the area we were in Mexico, you know, we spent some time. It's pretty common for them to build their communities in dumps. And so they just use whatever they can to erect houses. And so we spent time with them there. And there really is a contrast between believers there who are physically pretty destitute, and yet just their hearts for the Lord are so on fire. But then the people who don't have that hope and are destitute. And so being able to share with them just about the love of God, that ignites something in anyone, I think. Mm-hmm. But that's really where it started with me being able to spend time closely with the people who were there.
Do you think God used your own struggles over those 9 to 10 years to help you in that?
Yes. And I actually think, and we'll probably come back to this later, it's given me more opportunity now with Southern Africa because the level of fatherlessness is super high there. And I can relate. Yeah. I've lived some of that. That's a gift God gave me that I didn't know that right. would impact me.
For sure.
He let me, blessed me that way, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. I guess maybe big picture. You talked about the different trips you've been on. You took your family to Haiti and stuff. How many countries have you been in on mission?
And I should have counted that ahead of time. Mexico several times, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, India, Israel, and then in Southern Africa, Angola. No, not Angola, not yet. Botswana, Lesotho, South Africa, Tanzania, Zambia. I think that's it. So I think those are all the
it. That yeah. seems to be a lot.
Yeah.
But that's really cool. That's really cool that it's been broad. And I bet God has used that part of your story too. There's a long-term longevity piece, which is where we're trying to get to in the Northland and within FCA to build these long relationships, but also your personal experience to then lead people and help people to facilitate those and build those relationships because you've been across many cultures and across many time zones in different parts of the world is really cool.
Yeah, it really is. And I think all of those places that I mentioned, maybe on different continents and different countries, but they're still really similar, all of them, all, you know, mostly developing nations who need Christ. And so that's been a cool history of just, it may be Africa, it may be Haiti, but it looks very similar.
Yeah. So you put out a note on Facebook. I think the story of how people come to FCA is always really interesting. And put out a note on Facebook. You obviously knew Brent for a while. When Brent's like, you should come do this, is stepping into sports ministry something that you, at 15, when you're like, I might want to be a missionary, I might want to do this, was sports ministry where you thought you were going to land?
I would say likely not. I think when I was in high school, we had no FCA. I didn't really know that much about it besides we started supporting Brent because our kids were getting to be the age where they would have FCN. I knew I wanted them part of that. It wasn't until I was in the role for a little while and writing the stories that I really saw the impact of how God can use FCA and just drop coaching and athletes to himself and then transform the world, right? It's not just about the coaches and athletes, it's the entire world. And so that's where I really saw how God moves through that.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, going all the way back to, you know, like the very first, the birth of FCA, right, was about athletes and coaches getting a platform to share about their faith. Cool that your onboarding with FCA was literally to do that, to tell the stories.
Yeah.
And now you're doing that with just a broader scope and a broader reach. What about just like, we can get to Southern Africa a little bit and start talking, but from like just in general, I think this is a pretty common thing across a lot of international partners around the globe. But talk about the power of sport or the power of a ball in a country where people may not know Jesus. Like, why is sports ministry exploding?
I think when you look at the US, you see it. Platform of is everywhere for sport. But when you look internationally, and right now the World Cup is going on, and I mean, everybody is watching the World Cup, whether you have a team in it or not, you are watching it. And so from the professional stage of soccer, which most countries call football, except for the US, to the tiny little plots of dirt that you come across in any of our country. So tiny plots. In all of these countries where all they might make their own ball. I've seen balls made out of plastic grocery bags. They do their best to make it into a round object and they kick it wherever. They don't have a goal. They just make stuff up. And it's literally all they have to do. A lot of these kids running around, sport is their life. Whether they're playing on official team or they're playing just in that corner, it is their life. And it is a way for many to get out of the life that would otherwise be their trajectory. We see it in all of our countries. Just our international leaders see how sport can transform their entire nation. And yeah, we see it throughout Southern Africa. Many of the girls, if they didn't have soccer, would be into prostitution as teenagers. Many of the young men would be into drugs and alcohol. It's just what's expected. It's just how it goes. And they have a different way. And so not only physically being able to play sports, but then you have these coaches and volunteers pouring into them, being mentors for them, being those parental figures for them, and pointing them to Christ, pointing them to a heavenly Father who loves them. It yeah. is tremendous, the opportunity we have internationally to see the impact.
Yeah, that's just hearing from Moreno, who's North Dakota's partner and leader, international leader in Madagascar, just the stories that he'll share of people that, you know, walk into a village and drop a ball and have some games, and it brings the community, it brings everybody together. I remember he's telling a story about somebody who, it was like the first time fun. It was kind of like the beginning of fun. And that ends up leading to conversations with like community leaders and the tribal leaders, because it was about fun.
Yeah.
And that breaks down barriers and opens up opportunity for the gospel. And it's just really incredible.
Yeah. It's like
how God uses it.
Yeah. As like a universal language. Everybody likes to play and have fun. And I think Moreno, what we've seen happen in Madagascar the last couple of years, I last year took this course called Perspectives of the World Christian Movement. It's an online course. You do a lot of reading and thinking through, and they talk a lot about unreached people groups who basically have no access to ever hearing the gospel unless something changes. And there's actually several unreached people groups in Madagascar. And so I had reached out to Moreno, like, do you have any plans to go? And he's like, I've been waiting. We've been praying. We want to go. And so we were able to help fund that trip. And last year, he spent several months reaching the unreached in northern Madagascar. So super cool what God can do through that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that might be a paradigm shift for people in the U.S. in particular, that have known FCA, that grew up with FCA huddle in their school or something. But for a guy like Moreno, who goes on a month-long trip with other people, and he's sharing Jesus with people potentially for the first time that people group has ever heard, is insane and amazing. And he's often doing it with a ball and a lot of love and a lot of patience and just being an example and a light for Christ. So that's incredible, the connections.
Yeah, it's so cool. And it really is mind-blowing what God can do. You know, you remember many North Dakota staff, well, actually all the regional staff, many of them were praying daily for this outreach because of the potential opposition. Moreno said you have to even pray about who is cooking us food because it could be somebody who wants to do witchcraft against us. And it's like, what in the yeah. world? This is so like far out of my comprehension.
Yeah.
But it's their day-to-day challenges. And yep. so for us to be able to walk with him and pray for him through that, I mean, what a tremendous opportunity for us to just be able to be part of that.
Yeah. So what have you seen over the last, because you've been in this role now for how many years as the, accepting the role? Yeah.
4 years. 4 years in August. So we're almost there.
Yeah. Like, where were we at as a region 4 years ago? I think you had said three when you very first started, three people. And so how's that? Kind of talk about that growth.
Yeah, that's been really fun to see. When I started, we had partners in Zambia, South Africa, and Madagascar. Marina's been around for a while. And while I was kind of filling in for Jeff, we added Tanzania, maybe one other country. But we've just continued to see people either reach out to us or we have connections. There's this group called the Sport Movement that really trains people up to do sports ministry, but then that's what they do. They train you up, but they don't have a lot of resources to come alongside. And so
yeah.
lots of our African leaders know each other. They've met at, there's something called ISLS, International Sports Leadership School. They meet at that, or they meet at something else, and then they can connect us to them. And so we brought in Graciano in Angola and Anas in Malawi. Mahawana and Lesotho is a really cool connection. There's a ministry there called Reclaimed, and the home church of the person who started it is the same church as the person in my role, aligned with East Africa, who lives in Mississippi. And so they were able to connect and get us connected to Mahawana, and he came to a conference in South Africa, and he has been all in ever since. It's just like heart in his wheelhouse. And so, and then our guy in Botswana, Tolowani, I have a friend who I was on a mission trip to Mexico with when I was in college, who went to Botswana for a couple years and served after we were on this mission trip. And she knew this guy who did basketball ministry in Botswana. And that's how we connected with him. So it's just cool what God does in raising up people.
Yeah. I got to meet Tolani in the airport after real time. We were on the same flight back to Minneapolis, and that was really cool to hear part of his story. And just basketball ministry has been a part of his life, and basketball has been a part of his life for a long time, but basketball ministry as well. And so it's really cool. Like you said, the idea of coming alongside, not just raising up, but coming alongside, being in it for the long haul, being in it long-term to build these relationships, to be able to support in many different ways. So last year, let's start with this question. So who typically goes on trips? We send, at least to Southern Africa so far, who typically goes on these trips?
It's a great question. We have had a pretty big mix. It's probably the most staff, but then also we've had coaches go. We've had high school students go. We have college students go, usually high school or college athletes. And then whatever sport the coaches. Those are usually the people we go. We have now one trip had a donor go. So like a donor experience being part of what God's doing in Southern Africa.
So you've been on a few of them. There was a pretty famous one infamous maybe is the better descriptor of it. Why don't you share a little bit? We could make 5 podcast episodes probably with the entire team from there. But why don't you share a little bit about the Pine City trip? And
for sure. We talked to Pine City, and I don't even know how we started the conversation. But somebody was like, let's go on a trip. It's like, are you sure? Because it's a lot of work. They're like, yep, we want to do it. So 14 high school students, and then 6 adults from Pine City, and then 2 from somewhere else, and 5 FCA staff made up this team. And they planned for months and months and months, fundraised a ton, group fundraising, sending out the letters, all the things. They did all of it. We prepared, made plans, did all the stuff. They gathered equipment. Every one of us had an equipment bag full of stuff that we were going to use for these camps that we were going to do over there. I mean, they just did an incredible amount of work. And the day that we left for the airport, I have a rule for when we do trips that when you wake up in the morning, you message the group so that I know you're not sleeping when you should be already at the meeting point. Every single person messaged early. Everybody was up. They got to the school on time. They made it to the airport early. And we got through customs. Super easy. One girl got stopped with her sandals. And that's it. And I was like, man, it's so easy. And there was a little thought in my head at that time that was like, is that too easy? And as it turns out, we got on our first flight to Dulles, which is near DC. And as we're taxiing up to the gate, one of the high school girls says to me, Shelly, why does it say that our next flight is canceled? And I was like, I don't know, but I'll find out. No big deal. We'll figure it out. And so Brady, who's on staff in the East Metro in Minnesota, and I headed to where our gate was supposed to be because that's where they told us to go. And when we got to the gate, the woman said, well, nobody's going to talk to you in person because you're a group. So we sat down I don't know why, on the floor. We found a place on the floor. We sat down, called a group number, and they were like, we can't get you out until this August 5th. So we flew out July 31st. She's saying, we can get you out August 5th. And I was like,
and you're sitting in DC.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you're not serious that this is a viable option. This can't be a viable option. She's like, it's all I can do. Let me keep checking. So she kept putting me on hold and coming back. And Brady and I started looking at flights. Could we just purchase flights outright? And she finally came back and was like, I can't. And I was like, split us up, do whatever. She's like, I can't do anything. So I handed Brady the bottom of the list and I started at the top of the list. And we just started finding flights. And one of the airlines was Etihad. I'd never heard of it until that day. One of the people in my role had said, have you tried that? Because I text like so many people, please pray for us.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do. So we ended up sending 12 people on Emirates Airlines, which is amazing. We flew on a double decker. It was very fancy. 12 of us went on that. We went through Dubai. And then 10 went on Etihad through Abu Dhabi, which was all the guys but one is how it ended up. And then we sent 5 poor girls, 1 woman and 4 high school girls through Ethiopia. And the guys had to leave right then. We went and tried to find the luggage. Couldn't find it anywhere. So I'm like, you guys just have to go. You have to go back through security. You have to get on your plane. And then the rest of us, 17 of us, I think, had to find somewhere to stay overnight so we can come back the next morning. And I reached out to, again, somebody in my role. And I was like, hey, do you know anybody in DC who can help us? Because I had maxed out. That's what I should mention that. I had maxed out my credit card. Brady had put $14,000 on his credit card. Was $38,000 we'd spent on these flights. And I'm just like, we'll figure it out later, whatever's going to happen. Yep. So this great area director from DC was like, I got you 5 rooms. I'm covering the cost. Don't worry about it. I'll meet you at the hotel. And we took the shuttle and were able to stay. Like, just super cool, the connection for us. So went back the next day. Luggage was, we didn't know where. You know, they're like, figure it out later. We'll send it. Or whatever. And so we flew out almost, both groups flew out almost the same time. And we got to Dubai. They treated us really great on the plane because they heard what happened. And we just had a great experience. We got to Dubai and in the airport, and I get an email saying, your flight from Ethiopia to Botswana has been rescheduled. Here's your new itinerary. And I was like, oh my word. I sent the leader who was probably the least experienced with international with these 4 girls. She doesn't have an international calling plan because I told them it wasn't necessary. I can't get a hold of her. She's not on Wi-Fi. And so finally I reached out. We have some Ethiopian teammates. And so I reached out to them and one of them was like, hey, my brother-in-law works for the airport. I'll just call him and see what's going on. So he called, figured out what happened with the flight, was able to get us connected, and they were fine. They ended up having to stay overnight, but they then flew straight to Botswana the next day. We flew to South Africa, South Africa, and then drove, took a bus to Botswana.
Yeah.
So we all, ones that were in South Africa, got there, no luggage. We talked to the airlines. We're like, can you please done for our luggage? They're like, no, we're not going to do that, because it was one airline that had canceled our flight and had our luggage, and different airlines that we took. So they were like, we're not helping you. And then they were like, okay, we'll help you fill out these forms. And we just had to leave, not knowing what was going to happen. And so we took a bus to Botswana. The group landed in Botswana and we pulled into the parking lot of our hotel at exactly the same time.
Wow.
One day late to just this great party of people welcoming us, dancing and singing. And so God clearly orchestrated all of that. And then the trip, we never got our stuff, not our clothes, not our equipment, no bags ever came. So all but 4 people had listened to me and packed an extra outfit in their carry-on. And so all of us got to at least exchange and wash in between, but they didn't. So Carson Sharp is the FCA staff guy who wore a purple shirt the whole week. And it was comical. And they started throwing that in my face. There's a verse in the Bible that says, do not take even an extra
time. Yeah.
They're like, that's our theme verse for the week. But it was probably the best trip I've ever been on. What God did through our not having anything and just having ourselves was the coolest thing. You know, the people we served didn't see the stuff we brought. They saw people who we had to share the four with our hand signals, and because the bracelets were somewhere in a bag, somewhere I didn't know. And so just incredible. And literally everything of that trip was not the way we had planned. We were supposed to have a sports camp. Hundreds of kids were going to come to us. We ended up going to different schools, and we'd get to the school grounds, and Gavin and Brady and Carson would look at the grounds and they'd be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to kickball over there. We're going to do soccer here, volleyball here. And we ran around and got just a tiny bit of equipment because it's not very accessible in Botswana. And God did amazing things in the team, through the team. And I would say probably the best trip that I've ever been on to see what God did. And when we got back to South Africa, some of the bags had come to South Africa. And so we were able to quick go through those and send, I think we sent 10 bags of equipment back to Tololani. So he did end up getting a bunch of stuff. We took the rest back with us to Minneapolis. When we got to Minneapolis, all but two bags were there. And again, it was Carson's bag that wasn't there. Just kept following him. But he got it, I think, by Thursday. So like 4 days after we got back. And we've been using that equipment. Some of it's going to Madagascar with you. It's been going like to every country because I have a basement full of equipment to go.
Yeah.
And then the money, super cool. Like that team, the Pine City Group, had raised $20,000 extra. And I was like, what are we going to do with this money? We have this extra. I mean, what should we do? Well, it turns out God knew. And then the airline refunded $16,000. And then I had a donor who's like, I'm just going to make up the difference. And so God provided all of it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it was wild, but cool.
That's really cool. So last summer, you went on a few, or there were a few of the trips from the Northland last summer. But then you went on a trip last fall, or we would probably say winter, to Zambia, that as you look back on it, probably has very complicated memories. So why don't we talk a little bit about that Zambia trip?
Yeah, so the Zambia trip was only four people. Sometimes we take larger teams, and this was four people. It was me and Brent, who I talked about earlier, is who originally hired me with FCA. We now serve on the regional leadership team together. And Derek Thompson, who's a rep in Minnesota, and then Dave, who is a donor to me. And I had asked Dave, do you want to go to Africa? And he said, yeah, I do. And then the whole time he was like, I don't actually know why I'm here. I don't know what my purpose is. He didn't know what to do for training. So really, Brent and Derek did a lot of the training. It was a lot of coaches and athlete training, leadership training, stuff like that. So Dave wasn't sure, but he was super impacted by the trip. Our leader there was Simon, who was our leader for, I think, 14 years in Zambia. Amazing guy. Somebody you can't really describe just how much he did for the ministry, for the soccer club that is in Zambia. We just were amazed by the depths of his character, for how hard he worked, for what he did. And we had a great trip. We got to know the athletes from his top teams. We got to spend time with coaches. We got to pour into his team, the leaders that he'd been raising up. And it was just a really tremendous trip, really impactful for all three of the guys. We walked through Makalulu, which is the largest slum in Southern Africa, which was hard and good to be able to be in the spaces where the athletes come from. And so it was just such a great trip. And Dave had met with Simon during the trip, and it was determined that Dave would start mentoring Simon because Simon really had a lot on his plate and needed a little bit of leadership mentoring. So that was decided. Whale went home. 4 days later, I was looking at Facebook, and one of the athletes had posted that Simon had been killed. And I was like, what? How could that be? Why did God have us go if he was just going to take Simon 4 days later, what could he possibly have planned in that? And long story short, God has just given us the opportunity to walk alongside Simon's family and the team, the coaches. We got to spend time with Roy, who is who God has clearly called to step into Simon's shoes and continue leading the team. We have seen God raise up people. So rather than it be this one person doing all of this, he's just raised up this team of people to serve. And I've seen them in the Word more than ever. We were able to bring Bibles to the teams. That's what they're leaning on in what has been such a hard time. And for those who are serving that team, they said usually when a leader dies, the ministry stops. So it would have been expected to have no more Amazing Grace football club. And yet everybody rallied and said, we want to keep this going. And so Dave is now mentoring Roy, talks to him a couple times a month, pours into Roy as a young leader. And he was also able to raise some significant funds to be able to help in this gap. Simon had a bunch of small businesses that he used to fund the ministry. So Dave was able to do that. So where he didn't know why am I here, he's now an integral part of the ministry of what God's doing. And we just get to see fruit, you know, like God clearly had us there on purpose right before he was going to take Simon. And it's just such a cool testimony to God's goodness. He loved this ministry and wanted us to come alongside. And so just not a trip I would have ever thought. It was such a shock to read that and then to move through that over the coming days and months. But just to see what God has done is pretty spectacular and just cool privilege to be a part of what God's doing over there.
Yeah. To think about the Dave who's like, I don't know why I'm here, and then develops a relationship and with Simon and is like, that's why I'm here. But God had something so much greater. It came through really, really difficult tragedy and really awful circumstance. But to then see, like you said, it goes from one to a group of people now that we have to keep this going. And just to think like that point that you guys are over there where, first of all, when you're first like, why would we even go? But that point right there is like one of two very quick catalytic moments for the ministry to build those relationships. And thought it was about a sports trip and really was about so much more. It's both incredibly devastating and tragic, but also incredibly powerful to see how God moves.
Yeah, to see his hand. It's pretty cool to have a front row seat to that.
And then why don't you talk a little bit about this summer and kind of what we've got going on over the next, literally when this comes out, there'll be two groups.
Yeah, so, I'm very excited about that. So last year, there was also a trip to South Africa that I did not lead. Wisconsin staff member led that group. So that was the first one that I didn't lead. And now these two trips leaving next week, I'm not leading either one of them. And so it's just cool to watch God raise up people who are willing to say, hey, I'll go and I'll lead and I'm not afraid and we'll take this trip. And so the first trip leaves on the 15th to Angola, a team of six, couple staff and college athletes, and one of our staff guys' wives. And then the next day, your team leaves for Madagascar and some staff and coaches and just some great people. So both will do basketball ministry, and then Angola will also be soccer. And so there'll be camps, clinics. Really, again, it's whatever our international leaders want. Yeah. Although sometimes I have to remind them that it needs to be sports ministry, that we're there to do sports ministry, not other things that are also meaningful, but we just want to stay in our lane of sports ministry. So it'll be, I can't remember how long the travel is, more than 24 hours for both teams to get there. Layovers, the Angola team is laying over in Frankfurt and they're going to go out into Frankfurt and check it out. So I pray that they get back into the airport and all those things. So excited for what God's going to do there. And then later in August, we will take a team to Tanzania. A group from South Dakota will go to that. I'm excited they're bringing a videographer. So he will be able to do some really cool stuff to highlight international ministry. We have a donor in South Dakota who has put in a lot of funds to build a facility for our ministry in Tanzania. So we get to go be part of the grand opening of that, host some sports camps, and just see what God is doing. We took a small team there a couple of years ago, and this is seeing the fruit of what God's done from that trip. So those will be all three really exciting. Again, when you talk about the growth in our region, we didn't have a trip going for many years. And now we're in really 6 weeks' time, we have three trips going. So it's pretty cool to see what God's doing. And then the momentum just keeps growing. If people hear about it and they're like, I want to go on a trip like that. I want to be part of that. I want to support that ministry, all those things. So I think all three trips, they'll all be unique. They'll all have things. You know, I tell every team, like, you can expect that it will not be the way that you plan. 100% certain on that, you will have to pivot, but it'll be what God wants. And so it'll stretch and grow the team, but it'll hopefully impact with the gospel in ways that are beyond what any of us could do on our own.
Yeah, for sure. It's been really amazing just over the last 3.5 years of getting to know you, Shelley, just how God has gifted you. Obviously, it's given you a heart for the nations, but also a heart for staff. And you're just like an incredible relational person and such a supporter of all the staff. So I think part of that is very specifically God calling a very specific person that a lot of people not just know you, but have just incredible trust and respect for you. And so when you say, let's go do this, we need somebody to go to X, Y, or Z. We need somebody to go to Angola or Tanzania or South Africa. Like, we can trust you. Our international leaders trust you. And like you said, you're the bridge. Yeah. You're the one connecting us and helping to guide. And I know I feel a lot better, even though you're not going on the trip with us, but I feel a lot better that this is something that you know intimately well, and you are in very consistent relationship with a guy like Moreno. And we're always hearing updates of how he's doing and what's happening. And, you know, last year he had that accident on his trip. He talked about that in his podcast. So if people are wanting to hear more about that journey, that's something that he talked a little bit about. But I just think it's really cool how God has placed specifically you where he has to really lead out in this. So thank you for that, because it means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to the rest of our team.
Thank you for that. It's been a cool journey to be, you know, like when I talked about closing the book on a career and God's given me this.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to be able to be part of it.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk maybe some logistics a little bit for listeners, for people that are listening. Some of the things we've talked about, I had mentioned earlier this idea of a reverse trip, which is when an international leader is coming to the U.S. Sometimes they're coming for training in Kansas City. They might come for real time, which is our like global staff gathering, or like we brought Moreno back last year. I think a couple other people came a couple years ago to come to our Northland gathering. So what are the other kinds of maybe trips, but also like the strategy for international? Because there might be people listening who want to figure out what to get involved with. Maybe they don't really know about FCA International. And so let's just talk kind of bigger picture a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Well, FCA has four types of trips. And we actually don't use the word mission trip because we want to keep it in that sports ministry lane. Our most typical is sports trip. That's camps, clinics that we're going to do with coaches and athletes. There's also training trips that is often working with our team of leaders there. And that also can include coaches, but is largely for our leaders and their volunteers. There's a vision trip. So say we've never been to Namibia, where we don't have a partner yet. We could go there and just check it out, see what's happening for ministry in some of those countries where we haven't seen it. We don't really understand. That's what we did in Tanzania a couple of years ago. That's how we knew, like, there actually aren't good facilities. They really do need facilities. We can come alongside. So that's a vision trip. And then our fourth is a reverse trip, as you mentioned. And that's where we bring them here. And I think we find so much value in that because some of our staff were like, I'm not going to Africa. Like, it's too far. It's so expensive. I already have to raise my own funding, and you're going to ask me to raise $4,000 more. It's too much. So we can bring our international leaders here, $2,000 to pay for their flight, usually. And then we just host them in our homes. They travel around the state. They get to be part of ministry. They can observe ministry. They can also share at ministry. So we have some of them will visit huddles and speak. Some of them will visit other ministry opportunities and just learn. But they also get to experience the Northland region. Like Graciano got to go fishing with a couple staff last summer. And we brought a couple to the Northland camp and to Black Hills camp last summer. And so they just can learn and build relationship. And then once our staff gets to know them, then our staff is going to go to Africa because they want to be part of what God's doing over there. And so it makes a huge impact on them. We'll have two come to the Northland gathering this year. Christo is going to be our main speaker, which will be really cool. And then Regan will also come. Both will go to Wisconsin before and after their trip and just be able to build relationship. And it's also a way to be able to help them raise some funding for their ministry. So currently, most of the funding comes from the U.S. As you can imagine, Africa doesn't have a lot of extra, but there are people there. And so that is a process that we're taking them through because we want them to have a team where they are, not just the team here.
Yeah.
And so many of our staff are supporting them. We have some donors that are giving. So if there are listeners that would want to give, we can help them be able to do that for that ministry.
Sure.
There's so many ways to get involved with, you know, you talk about what the strategy. So the strategy is really to raise up leaders who can serve in their countries. Our part in that is pray, give, and go. And so they need our prayer. They want our prayer. Graciano and Angola had said, I can tell people are praying for me. And so that's impactful to know you have when you're the only one in your country and you know that there's a team supporting you through prayer, super important. We're giving financially, we're giving towards, we have a Bible project we're doing, bringing sports equipment, and then we're going. And you see that, we're seeing that in greater number. And then part of our heart in that is that not only when you go, you won't be the same when you get back. And you won't do ministry the same. Hopefully, it'll make your ministry better. It'll help you be able to bring that more into what you do. So our heart really is, we stay in the Northland region. We are international, but international enhances our local ministry. And we really see
for sure
happening.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to check out more, because there's a lot of information on the northlandfca.org is the best place to go. And there's a whole Northland International and about all the trips that are currently happening, and each state has their own pages and stuff like that. And Shelley always is keeping that updated. So that's northlandfca.org. And there's a whole bunch of international information on there as well. I think as we like wrap our time, how's your walk with Christ grown as you've just connected more, gone on these, whether it's trips anywhere, whether it's FCA trips or not, but how has your understanding of who God is and grown because God's put this in your heart?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think as I go and serve and see what the Lord is doing, that's so far beyond anything we could ever do. It's got to be God. It can only be God. And so he just grows my faith in that, being able to see what he's doing, what his heart is, that he uses us to do any of it is a privilege. Yeah. You know, that, and also to know, like, even if I don't get it all right, he's still going to carry out his plan. There's not that pressure to have to get all the things right. It's like you and your trip won't be exactly like you think. And yeah, it's going to be exactly how God planned it to be. And so I think being able to trust him in that. And then truthfully, he's probably grown me the most through fundraising because the hardest part of the job for me, it is, and I think for a lot of our staff, just because it's hard to ask. It's hard to keep putting yourself out there. God, time and time and time again, is just like, I only want you to be obedient. I am going to provide for you. And so often, I know I'm being obedient when I do something over here and he provides from something over here. It's just like, he just wants my obedience and me to grow in my trust of him. And I think he uses that all the time in that. It's how he refines me. It's how I lean in the most to him. Like, it's a lot easier for me to go to Africa than it is to have to call somebody new to ask them to consider giving. So he's doing a great work in me in that way.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Shelley, for the time today and sharing stories. And I'm excited to go on the trip. I'm excited for, and also, you know, nervous and not quite sure what to expect. And it'll be my first time flying over an ocean. So going to be excited to be in Madagascar, mostly because Moreno is a really great man who loves Jesus and has just, God is using him in big ways. And to be able to walk alongside him while that's happening is going to be really great.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's going to be wild, and then it'll be great.
Yeah. So thanks again, yeah. Shelley.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thanks again for being part of Stories of His Glory. If today's episode inspired you, take a moment to share it, and be sure to follow or subscribe so you won't miss what's coming next. Psalm 96:3 reminds us to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. The field is yours. Now go glorify Him. Mm-hmm.